Good morning, everyone. Thanks for coming to an early Monday morning session. And thank you, Becky, for the recommendation. And thanks, Jennifer, for the invitation for me to speak in this session. So I'm from the discipline in communication, and I particularly study how communication technologies could bring about social dynamics and transformation for the purpose of health promotion at different levels. And I also have a background in entertainment education, and I don't know how many of you are familiar with it. Basically, it's the idea of combining entertainment media programs with educational purposes. So it started back in the 70s where, you know, you have a radio or television soap operas, right? And so narrative persuasion through entertainment programming for health promotion, social change. And, you know, I have this interest with in new media and also entertainment, which led to me to study serious games, which I use as an umbrella, a term, for digital games, simulations, and virtual worlds developed with serious goals or serious content. And one particular branch of serious games is games for health. So digital games have been used for a variety of purposes and a variety of topics. And just to give you a few examples here, the first one on the left, called Remission, it's a third-person shooter game developed for young cancer patients, for them to learn about the kind of cancer they have and how to manage their conditions together with their family. Of course, many of you probably have known or played Wii Sports, and it's sort of revolutionary in terms of the gaming developments when it comes to inviting people and intuitive control, and also it's a typical example of what we call exer games, you know, active and exercise using physical movements, you know, when you're playing the game. And the last one on the right is Guitar Hero. You know, it's not really, it's a commercial game, so it's not particularly developed for health promotion, right? But it has been used by health professionals for patients, especially rehabilitation for patients who have just had hand surgeries, or also patients who have had strokes. So digital games have been used for different purposes, and I've only given you some examples here. And there's also a recent development in the gaming industry, what Jasper Juul call it the casual revolution. So games have been around for a long time, and a typical sort of image about gameplay is, you know, this person sitting in front of a computer and just, you know, don't want to be bothered. And then, you know, when you think about health, it's maybe this person's getting depressed or lonely, doesn't want to have any real kind of social interaction with other people. But actually, there's a social history of gaming, and there's almost always a social aspect to gameplay. And in recent years, with all these newer games, such as Nintendo Wii and, you know, Microsoft Kinect developed now, there's this new genre called casual games, and particularly social games, where it's revolutionary in a sense that it has lowered the threshold for people to join gameplay. You don't need to be so skillful to be able to play Wii Sports. Whereas, you know, some people might have to have some kind of experience to play World of Warcraft and level up, right? And also, social games provide people a different context to get together, and you can have a party and people start to play in the same, you know, a room. Or you can play online with, you know, your family or friends who are living in a different city or country. And you don't have to be there on time, in the same space or in the same gaming space at the same time, or always at the same time. You know, you can log in and play, and then you can check in how your partners or your friends are doing. So it's very convenient and lower the threshold for people to participate. It's not so intimidating, and actually it's fun because you can play with people you know. So I think it's a very important phenomenon that I call a networked play, and I think it has great potential for health promotion. the reason why network play is so critical is because entertainment is all around us, you know. If especially, I think not just kids, but also adults. And actually, the average age for game players in the United States is around 35, and it reaches, you know, from toddlers from all the way up to like senior citizens, right? And the underlying premise for gaming is it's fun, it's engaging, right? And Jane McGonigal, she has this really fabulous TED Talk talking about how to use games to change the reality where, you know, a lot of issues, the reality is broken with all kinds of problems. So this kind of games, if people are so obsessed about play, it's actually good because they are immersed in the environment, thinking about health issues and communicating with people who they care about and related to health issues too. So understanding what provides a compelling user experience is critical, not only for commercial games, but I think especially for serious games. Because it's the engagement that makes it work. And also, network play, because the development of internet connections and also these gaming applications sort of interweaves the networks of computers with networks of social ties, you know, the people in our networks. So this notion of personal networks, right? And for a lot of the casual games or social games, it's different from what you usually think about massively multiplayer online games where you're playing with strangers. Here, you're actually playing with people who you know and you might know very well or who you want to know more. And so you are playing as yourself, and it matters a lot that who you play with and how you play together, and especially if it's health-related. And altogether, this sort of engaging gaming environment with your personal networks of social ties provides a persistent, social, and interactive space, and I think could provide an opportunity to create longer-term effects at multiple levels, not just individual, but also networks, communities, for wellness promotion. So I'll give you an example. And this is a project called Wellness Partners, and it was one of the projects funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation for health game research. And it was an interdisciplinary project, a collaboration between the School of Interactive Media Division at Cinematic Arts and the School of Social Work and School of Preventive Medicine at the University of Southern California, where I got my PhD from. And I was lucky enough, when I was a PhD student, I joined the team right after they got the funding and used some of their data, develop my dissertation project. So how does it work for Wellness Partners? The idea behind Wellness Partners is to leverage gameplay with personal network of close ties, meaning mostly your family members and friends, to promote physical activity. And so we recruited primary participants from USC staff between the age of 24 and 44. And they are required to bring in at least a partner. That's why it's called Wellness Partners, to play, to use this intervention. And we developed two versions of the program. In the control condition in the experiment, you see the interface. It's more or less like a Twitter. Interface, it's text-based where people can log in. They can see a complete history of their updates about their physical activities, as well as their enrolled partner's complete history of updates related to physical activity. And you see the tech clouds where more frequently reported activities would be larger. You can get the instant feedback in terms of who's doing what and how frequent. And in the experimental condition, you can see, so in addition to logging in and doing posting and sending messages, we purposely embedded digital gaming elements. So in here, when you log in, not only you can post updates about your physical activities, individual or as a group, and also setbacks, and send a private message. Whenever you report these activities, you get points, which is a really like a motivating mechanism, reward mechanism. And also, we embedded this a virtual character, a robot, where you know people could personalize in terms of the name, not so much with the look, because we didn't have that much money and time, but you know we would like to. And this virtual character is situated in different you know locations. We have a variety of them, where along the line, when people are playing and accumulating points, they could redeem these points into virtual collectibles. And all these points they can also use to play animations for this virtual character, this robot, to play wellness-related activities as a reward. So it's fun, and so we wanted to understand how this works. You know, it's both versions are actually social media-based. One is more like just a text-based social network site, and the other one has additional gaming features. Right. So the project evaluation, the design is like this. The primary participants, along with their partners, were randomly assigned into one of the two conditions to start with, say, the diary, the activity diary, the Twitter-like interface for 5 weeks, and then switch to the other one with the gaming features. Or in the experimental condition, the groups would start with the gaming features and then move to the diary version. And then we collected survey data at the baseline, and then after 5 weeks, the first follow-up, and then after the switch, the crossover design, second follow-up, and then some additional interviews. And we also brought in the egos, the primary participants, for physical measurements of their BMI and body fat mass. So our questions, again, going back to this notion of network play for health promotion, is to look at all these various aspects. The first one would be, you know, what would make their experience, you know, their using Wellness Partners program fun or frustrating? You know, is it really engaging? Is it compelling or not? And the second would be, you know, it has to do with their personal networks, where you have these people you care about or who also share your health concerns, and if you could have the potential to develop your personal community, you know, with them, right? So who would they choose as their partners in this program? That was one of our questions too. And then in terms of web activities, I said, you know, it's potentially a persistent social and interactive space, but we don't really know how people are going to use this kind of interventions, right? So what do they do and how are they going to use this program? And then lastly, how is the network play activities, you know, related to health-related outcomes that we were hoping to get, right? So some results. This part in evaluating media enjoyment, we have developed the three-level threshold model in terms of media enjoyment, and what we found out is mostly people, when they felt frustrated, it was because of the technical aspect or the basic design. And, you know, they couldn't log in, they had technical issues. But when they felt really fun and compelling, it was mostly about the kind of rewarding mechanism built into the games, and also the parasocial communication with a virtual character, this robot, and the computer-mediated communication amongst the players. And when they were asked, you know, how could we improve the program, you can see a lot of those are related to the social, parasocial, and non-social aspect of the game. In terms of choice of partners, so about 45 of the partners they chose were family, and then 29% friends. And within the family sort of category, you can see 20% spouse and 19% of siblings. So around the same age, rather than, you know, parents 4% and children 2%. So we didn't really get sort of the intergenerational dynamic as we were hoping. And how they use the web, this program, they use it to track their own progress and their partner's progress in terms of physical activity. And they use it for social support and interactions. You know, they can send private messages, or they see the tech clouds. It's instantly a friendly competition. You know, the fact that my tag of yoga is so much larger than my sister's, you know, walking, just makes me feel so good, and I don't have to bother her to call her to see what's up with, you know. And then gaming, that's very engaging, and the entertainment element really brought in for especially people who don't normally talk about health. Like we have groups of participants who are the male, a young male in their late 20s or early 30s. They never get together and talk about physical activity, but because of the game, they started to talk about it. And I start to think that, you know, if my friends are doing that and I never knew, maybe I should also consider. And lastly here, we found a statistically significant increase in self-reported exercise frequency in terms of the number of days they report exercise. And both versions, you know, the text-based diary and with the gaming features worked very well, but of course the one that started with gaming, the groups that started with gaming features had more or better results. And also for the primary participants, we had collected the physical measurements. They actually had significant decrease in terms of BMI and marginally significant decrease in body fat mass. So just last thought, in terms of multimedia, and this is only a web-based intervention, and although we had planned mobile features, but we couldn't really execute because of the time and money, and I think, you know, mobile games or mobile apps, as, you know, the previous speakers talked about, have great potential in terms of how you embed these mechanisms into interventions and really create a sense of community, a belonging where, you know, it's persistent. It's not just one time I play it and it's done. And also, in terms of traditional, how it's related to traditional mass media campaigns, I think gaming, what's unique about it, it's an experiential play experience. You know, whereas if you are watching TV, it's vicarious. You know, it's not you really sort of experiencing what's going on and the consequences, but you're watching others or reading about other stories, which is very different. And in this case, I think gaming would be very powerful. And transmedia storytelling will be another thing where you can embed gaming into a larger campaign using different platforms to tell a story for health promotion. So thank you very much.